Starting with verse 23, these are the words that are penned by Paul. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus just for a freedom and a liberty here today, for your word to go forth. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this house to speak through to every heart here this morning. I pray, Lord, if there are walls, if there is chasms here today in relationships with you, I pray today would be the day of healing. Today would be the day that the chasms are bridged, that the walls are torn down. Father, I ask that every heart would be receptive, Lord, to the power of your word through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I'm asking today just for a liberty and a freedom to just be able to speak your word. And, Lord, we're just believing God for good things to happen in our lives. And everybody said, amen. I just want to look at this scripture here today. He said, "For I received from the Lord, which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." So I want you to kind of imagine today that this is bread. If you can't, if you can't imagine that, close your eyes, think about it, open them up. It's bread. No surprise. So what's so important with just a loaf of bread here this morning? So today I just want to talk about how important this bread is for us here this morning. It's going to be the topic of what we are this morning and who we are in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. So as I begin here this morning, I want to talk about the broken bread here this morning. We don't often think about bread. The only time we really think about bread too much is when we go to the store and we have to pay an exuberant amount of money for bread. How many of you remember when you used to go to the store and you put a dollar on the counter and they gave you change for a loaf of bread? Those days are gone and past. And so we want to talk about the significance of this bread here today. In the Bible, bread was symbolic of a lot of different things. It represented many different things. It begins in Genesis chapter 3. As we look at the scriptures, the Bible says that Adam, when he was cursed because he disobeyed God, it said that he would eat bread, what? By the sweat of his brow. So we see here that bread represents the food that we eat. We also see in the Bible that bread often is seen in fellowship, because people, what do they do? They broke bread and they had fellowship with one another. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, we read a little bit here today, that it's talking about the body of Jesus Christ representing him, but it also talks about the body, bread representing the church. In the story of the parable of Lazarus, if you remember that, the poor man who was given sat at the rich man's gate, wasn't given any food from the rich man. It says there that he didn't even get the bread that was thrown from the master's table. And what that was, it was basically they ate with their fingers and they would use that bread as a napkin and they would throw it to the dogs to eat. And he wasn't even given that. We see that bread also represents the source of life. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was the showbread that stood in the presence of the Lord. We see that Jesus came along preaching and said, "I am the bread of life." But we also see that bread basically means our daily sustenance. He talked about it here this morning. Lord, give us our daily bread. So we're not only to bless and pray over our food, we are actually called to what? Pray for our food, our daily bread. As you know it, bread is a staple for many people. Just like rice and beans in many parts of the world, bread is a staple food that is for the rich and the poor alike. Sometimes we find bread as a comfort food. How many like to eat bread, right? Maybe too much bread. We see it's nutritional when taken in moderation. We see that bread is to be shared, right? When you sit at the table, you don't sit there with all the bread in front of you and say, good luck. I wish you had some. No, we break it. What do? And we share it with those that are at the table. We know that the early church, it said that they were gathered together. What'd they do on a constant basis? They broke bread, right, in one another's home. So they fellowshipped. But it is also a warning against false teachers. Jesus warned them against the yeast that was in the dough and bread and said that these teachers will come in and corrupt the church. And, of course, we see that bread was used it's been a long time since I preached. You forgot I was your pastor, didn't you? So we see that Jesus even used bread to feed a multitude of people, 4,000 and 5,000 people. But bread also provides a simplistic lesson about life. It teaches us about sin. It teaches us that the leaven, the yeast, represents the sin in the lives of people. Just a little bit will grow, right, and permeate our entire life. So there's a lesson there. And today, we know that Jesus didn't have this kind of bread. He had unleavened bread, which, if you've ever had unleavened bread, is nasty stuff. And that was the purpose of it. It wasn't supposed to be pleasant to eat. And during their festivals, they were not allowed to eat bread with yeast in it. And it was forbidden because it represented sin. So we know that sin has entered our world today, and we see it more prevalent than ever before. It has permeated everything, every aspect of our lives. And the Bible tells us the earth actually groans under the influence and the power of sin, and it is waiting for the day of redemption just like we are. But Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 that there is a power that is manifest in our world. It's not tangible. It is intangible. It cannot be seen. We can see the evidence of it, and it's called sin. And Paul wrote and said, one man sinned. One man brought condemnation. One man introduced death to the human race. One man was the problem, but Jesus came as the solution. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. Paul also quoted from the Old Testament, no one is good, not even one. And so we're encouraged here today to realize that we cannot be whole, we cannot be saved, we cannot be pure in the eyes of God on our own. But there's nothing more remarkable. There's nothing remarkable about bread, but when you place it in the hands of Jesus, something incredible happens. And that's what we want to talk about here today. Jesus stood there on that day. Jesus broke that bread and said, this is my body. This is my life, which is broken for you. Sin has tainted everything. But we also know that the power of sin has been broken through Jesus Christ. And that is the good news that we preach here today. So we look at this today, we see broken bread. But I also want to talk about a broken Christ. We read in the scriptures, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. So this bread that was broken was representing his body. He said, and it was broken for you. I don't know how many of you are giving thanks in the midst of your circumstances when things come in and crash against your life that come down to break you. I don't know how many of you give glory to God over those things. But Jesus is facing that situation. He is facing the cross. And he gives thanks and identifies and says, this is my body which is broken for you. So as we look at this here this morning, the breaking of the bread was symbolic of the breaking Jesus would have to endure for all of us here this morning. And so we just want to take a fragment of time here this morning. How was Jesus broken? Jesus was broken emotionally. I don't know about you. There are opportunities in my life that I worry. Sometimes I'm fearful. Sometimes in the middle of the night, I wake up with a panic attack and just kind of, come up out of a dead sleep and you're sweating. For maybe you don't really understand why, but it just happens. But I've never gone to the place where I sweat blood. I can't imagine Jesus in the garden that day. The Bible says there in Luke that he began to sweat and his sweat turned to blood. We see that he was broken emotionally. How was he? He was blindfolded, the Bible says, by those that were in authority. He was slapped. He was punched. The Bible says he was ridiculed. He was mocked. The Bible says he was spit on. I don't think there's nothing more disgusting for somebody to spit on you. I've watched movies. I've watched shows. And just watching somebody spit on somebody and seeing it on their face just kind of grosses me out. In fact, it kind of stirs something in your eye. You almost hate the person who spit. It's disgusting. And yet, Jesus did that for us. Jesus was crucified. We see it was a public spectacle that he was there staying above the world. He was identified as a sinner. He was identified as somebody who did something wrong. We also know that he hung on that cross. Some believe he wore something. Some people say he was completely naked. I don't know. But many of us are in that place here today that we know what shame is all about. Hebrews chapter 12, 2 says, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Notice what it says, "scorning its shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Some of your translations say, "may despising the shame." Let me just say this. He overcame the shame of the cross. Hallelujah. And the truth is, there are those, if we look at our past, there are a lot of shameful things that I have done in my life. There are some things that I don't want anybody to ever know that I did. And it was because of some of the decisions I've made. But the truth is, there may have been some things that happened to you that was not your fault. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe it was neglect. Maybe it was something that caused shame in your life. So Jesus comes along and says, what? It's nailed to the cross. So if you're carrying shame in your life and condemnation in your life, it's been nailed to the cross, church. Jesus can identify with you here this morning. You don't have to carry that anymore emotionally. Jesus was broken emotionally for you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're feeling. It also says that he was broken physically. Dr. DeHaan says this in his series on broken things. He said, his body was literally broken. Broken when they scourged him and the skin burst open and the raw flesh stood out. Broken when they crowned him with thorns and the cruel barbs sunk into his blessed brow. Broken when they drove the cruel nails through his blessed hands and feet and impaled him on the tree. Broken when they pierced his side and the water and the blood came forth to testify to the reality of his suffering as well as his death. Broken for us. It seems I can see him standing there, writes the author, with the bread in his hands as he says to those at the table, this is my body, which is broken for you. Jesus was broken spiritually. Jesus experienced something foreign to his nature. Jesus, through all eternity, had never, ever sinned. He had never experienced sin. Isaiah says he went to the cross, and they thought he was dying for his own sin. But little did they know he was dying for their sin. And so we have Jesus here experiencing sin for the very first time in his life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for God made Christ who never sinned to be an offering for whose sin? Our sin. So that we could be made right with God through Christ. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, Christ suffered for our sins once for all. He never sinned. but he died for sinners to bring you safely to home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. I like that word. He wants to bring us safely home. Isn't that a wonderful feeling here today, that that's where God wants to take us today? He also never experienced a broken relationship. The Bible talks about the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, where there was never any breakage, where there was never any lack of communication and relationship. And here we find that, what do we know? What do we understand? Sin separates us from God. So for the first time, Jesus takes sin upon himself, and that unity, that relationship is broken for the first time in all eternity. I don't believe God forsook him. I don't believe God turned his back on him. I believe God was there. But just like us, when we are praying, when we are not in relationship with God and where we're praying, and it doesn't seem like it's reaching past the clouds, right? Jesus was in that same situation. And in Matthew 27:46, it read this, about 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Wow. A broken relationship. Church, with sin in our life, we have a broken relationship with God. Jesus walked in our shoes, and he felt what we have felt. We also see that Jesus experienced the wrath of God against sin. I don't know where crucifixion originated, but I'll tell you where I think it originated: in the pit of hell. They say it's one of the most horrendous torture that was ever invented by man. And guess what God chose to do with his son? Put him in that situation, to have him crucified. Picture this. This is what Isaiah writes. He says, "But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man." In my mind's eye, I'm kind of looking at this, and I'm kind of seeing God's hate for sin, what God thinks of sin. I don't know how many of you would want to see your son or your daughter go through what Jesus Christ did. God's plan, Jesus' choice. Hell's a real place. Heaven's a real place. Jesus experienced a little bit of hell on earth. Church, we don't want to spend eternity in hell. If this is a picture, an earthly picture of God's wrath, of what it looks like, folks, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. So we read here, he took bread, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." I want to talk about broken things. Broken things categorize and describe the journey of life from the cradle to the grave. From when we're taken and broken out of a relationship with our mothers at birth, to the day that our spirits are going to be removed and broken from our physical bodies. We live in a broken world full of broken things, broken homes, broken hearts, broken bodies, broken hopes and dreams, broken promises, broken health, broken lives. God knows all these things. He sees these things. He knows these things. And we look at what Christ went through, and we have this knowledge today. He feels these things. He feels these things. Jesus took the broken fragments, and he creates something far better, more beautiful, more enduring, and more precious. Isn't that just like God? Isaiah 61:3 says this: "To all who mourn, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. We quote Romans 8:28 quite a bit, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. I like this scripture because we see that God is the callousist here that makes things happen. He's the force that takes broken things and puts them back together. Isaiah 43, we see that Isaiah prophesied about Jesus. He will not crush the weakest reed or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. I like this translation. It says, he will not crush those who are weak or quench the smallest hope. That's the Jesus we're talking about here this morning. Isaiah 61 says this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the broken. He has come to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim to the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemy. Folks, we're living in the favor of God's grace today. Jesus has come to set us free from sin. He has taken our place. That's what Easter's all about. That's what we're here to celebrate. If we can get those ready to serve communion here this morning, if you would. And as they're getting ready here this morning, I just want to give you just an insight into God's grace. When we read the gospel of that Last Supper, of what took place in that upper room, we see there's a character that we kind of put to the side because of what he did. And his name was Judas Iscariot. And Paul talks about in this 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if we take communion unworthily, there are some consequences sometimes that come into our lives. He told the Corinthians, he said, some of you are sick. He said, some of you are dying because you have taken of the Lord's Supper . It's amazing in that upper room that Jesus revealed that there would be a betrayer in that room. And he said it was one of you. And what's amazing is he never named Judas as the individual that did it. Luke tells us that. What we don't often think about is that Judas actually participated in that first communion. Luke is the only one that kind of identifies what is happening here. Judas took and ate of the bread, representing Jesus' body. He drank of the wine, which represented the blood of Christ. What I want to tell you is that Jesus gave Judas every opportunity to make things right. We see Jesus in the garden when he was betrayed. He told Judas, how can you betray me with a kiss? Jesus identified Judas in the garden as friend. Some translations say, my friend. Wow. The grace of Jesus always being extended, even to an individual who is a traitor, source of his dying. We know know that after Jesus was condemned, the Bible says that Judas, with remorse, killed himself. So as we partake here today, we don't want you just to feel remorse. We want it to be an opportunity where you make things right with God. There was times in my life that I didn't think I was worthy of taking of communion, and I would let it pass. And it would be years later that somebody said, this is what it's all about. Why do we do communion? So we remember. We remember. And if you're in this house today and there's some things that you need to deal with God, today is that day. This is that opportunity to remind it that that body was broken for you. No matter what you did, it was broken for you. And that blood that was shed was for you so that you might experience forgiveness of sin. So we don't want you to have remorse today. We want you to repent. We want you to take this opportunity this morning to renew that relationship. Maybe some of you are okay with the Lord here this morning. That's great. Praise God. But maybe you've allowed some things to slip, slide, kind of get a little cold. Today is that opportunity to renew that relationship. And maybe you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What a wonderful day. April 9th, 2023. To give your life to Jesus Christ. We read some of those scriptures here today. That we're all guilty of sin, unfortunately, because one man made a bad choice. But we know that we can receive forgiveness, salvation, because one man made the right choice, Jesus Christ. Father, we come into your presence here today, and we're so grateful, Lord, for what you did. We read in that scripture that you told them to remember. And today we remember the body which was broken for us. That entailed so many different things. Church, let me just say this here this morning, that he can heal in any and every area of your life. From the spirit to the soul, to the mind, to the heart, to the body. He is our healer today. That by his stripes we were healed. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, now's your moment. Now's your time. To confess, yes, I am a sinner. And yes, Jesus came to save me. Let me encourage you this morning. In your own words this morning, find that place. Make that prayer here this morning. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I recognize that the cross was the price of my salvation and that you did it. You did it all for me. And today I accept that wonderful gift, the gift of salvation from you. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you today and we participate today. Today we recognize, Jesus, that body was broken for us. I can't imagine that the early church, when they took communion and when they ate of the bread, that in their mind they saw a vivid picture of you and what you looked like on that cross. Wow. Lord, help us to understand the price that was paid. Help us to see that broken body, Lord, that was done for us. Lord, we partake together of that broken body, of that broken bread here this morning. Let's eat together. Lord, It says, likewise, you took that cup. And you said, this is my blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood for us, that we might receive forgiveness of sins. Let's partake together. Lord, we're so thankful for what you did for us. And so, Father, as we begin to wrap this service up today, I pray, Lord, that you will seal something in our heart today. If we made that prayer today, if we ask that forgiveness, Lord, give us the assurance, God, that you heard us. Give us that assurance, God, that our sins are washed away as far as the east is from the west. And that, Lord, your grace abounds. Give the assurance today that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High. We pray in your name. Amen. If you'll stay seated.